Welcome to this latest edition of the Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast on this 11th of March 2018. Very special edition of the podcast as we discuss the world of sports and pop culture. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. This program is sponsored by www.webmagazine.com as we go through the field of 68 NCAA tournament will begin, of course, Tuesday and Wednesday with the play-in games. And, of course, it all gets rolling on Thursday, for as we decide, see who can possibly dethrone the defending national champion, North Carolina Tar Heels. We'll begin with a couple of things before we get into the brackets. We're going to begin with just the committee. I know this is a big deal in terms of the committee grading, in terms of how, what teams should have got in, who should have got in versus who shouldn't have gotten in. Overall, I don't have a major gripe with what the committee did. A lot of people from Middle Tennessee State complaining, a lot of people from, Oklahoma State complaining. The bottom line is there was no way that Trae Young was not going to get into the NCAA tournament. There was no way. Like, Oklahoma could have lost every single game, which they basically did for the past month or so. Trae Young was going to get into the tournament. Oklahoma did enough in the first half of the season. You forget. They were 14-2 at one point. Top five team. Trae Young was the toast of the country of not only the NBA, NCAA, but the sporting world. And, you know, they hit a rough patch over the course of the last month of the season and really got exposed for not being, you know, I said this even when they were winning, that they were not a great defensive team. That got exposed. Teams started getting physical with Trae Young. And next thing you know, Oklahoma found themselves on the bubble. But they were never really on the bubble, I feel. Oklahoma was, to me, squarely in. They get in. Notre Dame, I told you guys that Notre Dame was not going to get in. And I told you that they did not deserve to get in this NCAA tournament. So you should not be at the least bit surprised that Notre Dame did not get in the NCAA tournament. Notre Dame did not deserve to get in the NCAA tournament. Notre Dame, their body of work was not good enough in terms of quality wins. I don't care about the fact that Bonzi Colson was hurt. To me, injuries are a part of sports. You got to deal with it. So I have no problem with Notre Dame not getting in. Also, it was clear that North Carolina would have been the number one seed had they beaten Virginia last night. Xavier, as they were put in the, it seems to me like Xavier was the last number one seed. North Carolina was the top number two. Davidson. Notre Dame actually, and they said this on ESPN, Notre Dame actually would have gotten in had Middle Tennessee State, if Davidson doesn't win the Atlantic 10. So that was Davidson winning Atlantic 10, that cost a bid for Notre Dame. You had a couple other teams that get Middle Tennessee State, them losing their conference tournament cost another team a bit as well, who were on the bubble. So you had a couple of teams that lost their conference tournaments that would have got automatic bids. That bids were stolen by teams that won the conference tournaments outside of with Middle Tennessee not winning and with Davidson winning the Atlantic 10. So Notre Dame, amazingly, again, I would have disagreed with that had that been the case, but amazingly, Notre Dame would have gotten in if Davidson does not win the Atlantic 10, Atlantic 10 conference tournament. So you had that as far as, you know, we can dissect the seeds and who was overseeded, underseeded, all we want. Overall, again, I think the committee did a pretty good job. They got all the number one seeds, all the number one seeds right. So again, this tournament starts on Tuesday. You'll have the play-in games Tuesday, LIU Brooklyn versus Radford, and then you'll have St. Bonaventure's against UCLA. A lot of people think, including myself, think that St. Bonaventure UCLA winner has a chance to advance in the tournament. Wednesday, you will have Texas Southern against North Carolina Central and Syracuse, Arizona State to wrap up the first four in terms of the play-in, in terms of the play-in games. Again, a lot of people believe that Syracuse should not have gotten in. I'm not one of them. I watched Syracuse twice against North Carolina. They played North Carolina, went tit for tat, toe to toe with North Carolina. I think North Carolina's a Final Four caliber team, a championship caliber team. I watched Syracuse. Syracuse is a tournament team. They look the part of being a NCAA tournament team. So I have no problem with Syracuse getting in. The ACC gets nine teams in. The ACC absolutely deserved the most teams in. I thought the committee got that right. There was for the, you know, as you, you know, if you follow the ESPN bracketology and brackets with Joe Lunardi, for the most part, you know, for weeks, the last 2 or 3 weeks, he had the ACC and the Big 12 and the SEC, amazingly, both getting eight in. It turns out the ACC does get nine in, so I definitely agree with that. With that, the ACC was the best conference from top to bottom all year long. You look at up top, what the ACC had. ACC has they have three teams that could legitimately win a national championship in Virginia, North Carolina, and Duke. No other conference possesses that at the top. So, I think the ACC clearly was the best conference in the country this year, along with the Big 12 as well. But I think top to bottom, ACC to me was the best conference and deserved to get the most seeds in. 347-215-6180 is your call number. 65-60 Lakers over Cleveland over Cleveland at halftime. So nobody's playing defense there in that game. A showcase game for the Los Angeles Lakers to try to get Los Angeles Lakers to try to sell LeBron James on coming to LA. So far they're doing their jobs in terms of that. Lakers have been playing better lately. Cleveland just, you know, trying to get to the playoffs, trying to get healthy, get Kevin Love back. Try to get their rotation set and get ready for the Eastern Conference playoffs, which they will again will be the favorites to get out of the East. Maybe not as overwhelming or as prohibitive of a favorites as they've been in past years, but they're still the favorites. So you have that going on. I know the O.J. Simpson thing took place. I had to DVR it because it was too much other stuff that I had to watch. I couldn't watch that. So you had that going on as well. I'm sure certainly there will be a lot of heavy reaction tomorrow coming off that O.J. Simpson confessional special that came on Fox tonight. 8 minutes after the 10 o'clock hour, when we return, we'll have tonight's headlines, and we will start off with the East Region Bracket. That's coming up, and much, much more on this latest edition of the Cyril Joaquin Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Tonight's headlines. Tiger Woods finishes second at Valspar, finished 9-under and had a birdie putt that could have sent him into a playoff with Paul Casey, who would win the tournament at 10-under. I think Tiger Woods is going to win the Masters. He played great over the course of the 4 days. He made putts. He looked comfortable out there. And today, again, I watched both. I watched all the final round and watched most of the third round. It was the first time in a long time that you felt that he was back. Like this wasn't, you know, a good round here, a good shot here versus three inconsistent shots. Today the crowd was the energy in that on that golf course. The crowd, you could feel it was like, yeah, he's back. The intensity on that golf course in terms of just the end, just all the energy. It felt like a Sunday with Tiger Woods being in contention. You saw with Brent Snedeker and how he just crumbled alongside playing with Tiger Woods. I mean, just fell apart. And that's what we're used to seeing in the past. Guys just melt who play against Tiger Woods, play alongside Tiger Woods. And right now, again, I think, you know, I think he, to me, is the favorite going into the Masters. He will play one more tournament, the Arnold Palmer Invitational at Bay Hill next week, and then he'll have 2 weeks off before Augusta. He is as primed and as poised as going to the Masters as he has been in at least 5 years, 5 to 6 years. Again, he made putts, and that was the difference between this tournament versus his previous couple of tournaments. He actually made putts over the course of the 4 days. He again finishes top two for the first time in about five since 2000, what, 15, 2000, I think since 2015. So he again is not. I've said this about Woods over the past couple of weeks. Not so much where he finishes. Is he healthy? So now he is clearly healthy, and now you, I mean, again, now you're starting to see, flashes of what he once was. Now, he does not have to get back to what he was to win majors. Okay, let's make that clear. He does not have to be. He will never be Tiger Woods, I think, pre-2008. That Tiger Woods is done. That Tiger Woods, frankly, was unbeatable. You wasn't touching that Tiger Woods. He doesn't have to be that great to win a major, because the bottom line is, as good as these players are, whether it's Spieth, Dustin Johnson, some of these other guys, Justin Thomas, he Woods at the level he's at right now can win a major, or can win multiple majors, playing the way he's playing right now. He absolutely can win majors. So again, I think he will be amongst the favorites going into Augusta in about less in about a month, less than a month, along with the likes of Justin Johnson and Spieth and Rory McIlroy, those guys like that. He will be amongst those favorites. And again, he has not played this well in about 5 years. It's been a good 5 to 6 years since he's played at this level to where he looks like one of the best players in the world. There was a report that came out yesterday that LeBron James has narrowed his teams down to four. That's Lakers, Houston, Cleveland, Philadelphia. You can cut two of those teams off, and he's not going to Philadelphia, and he's not going to Houston. So you can cut that list in half. To me, that is a two-horse race in terms of where LeBron James goes there. To me, he's either going to stay in Cleveland and go to the Lakers. But again, a report came out on Saturday, yesterday, that he had narrowed his list down to four teams. Kawhi Leonard could return back to San Antonio, could return to playing with the Spurs again on Thursday, which makes the Spurs one of the most dangerous teams in the Western Conference. If you're Golden State or if you're Houston, no, if a healthy Kawhi Leonard, no one would want to see San Antonio in the first round of the playoffs. I'm telling you that right now. So he could return as early as Thursday. And finally, Jake Arrieta signs a 3-year, $75 million contract with the Philadelphia Phillies. I'm surprised that he lasted this long on the free agent market. But what it tells you is that these teams in baseball have just gotten smarter in terms of how, in terms of spending money, and they're not giving out these long-term contracts. It's 3 years. They're not giving out these 5 to 10, these 7 to 8 to 9 year contracts, especially for these pitchers. They're going to give out shorter contracts, even if it means giving out more money. It's not about the money, because baseball is making a ton of money with the local television revenue, with the overall revenue that they're making from ratings and from the television contracts and what have you. So that it's not even about the money in terms of how much money they give, but they're not, these teams are not going to give out big years, as far as, especially when it comes to these pitchers. So I think getting great pickup for the Phillies. You get Arrieta, you get a proven guy who's won a championship, who's been a best pitcher on the team that's won a championship, is a legit number one. And now the perfect situation at this stage in his career, you probably want him as a number two, but the Phillies don't have that luxury. They don't have that luxury, so he will immediately become the number one pitcher for the Philadelphia Phillies. He can, mentor some of the younger pitchers, especially Aaron Nola, who has a lot of promise and potential. So good pickup for the Phillies. We'll see how he does. Of course, baseball season just a couple of weeks away, March 29th. Then you'll have, of course, the outright official opening day, April 2nd, coinciding with the NCAA championship as well. So you got so a lot going on in the world of sports, but first and foremost, it is the Field of 68. When we return, we will break down the East bracket in the Field of 68. That's coming up, and much, much more on this latest edition of the Cyril Joaquin Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of Zero Joking Sports Podcast. Vegas has come out with their odds to win the championship. Villanova is the favorite at 9-2. Of course, Villanova won that dramatic game a couple of years ago on the buzzer beater over my beloved Tar Heels back in 2016. They have fourth straight year. I believe that they've won 30 games or more. Jay Wright has done a tremendous job with that program in his 17 years there, gotten a couple Final Fours, and of course won a championship a couple years ago. You have Duke at 5-1, Virginia's at 6-1, Michigan State's at 8-1, Michigan at 9-1, Kansas 10-1, North Carolina and Purdue are both at 12-1. So those are the favorites to win the championship, according to Vegas. We're going to begin with the East bracket. Villanova, of course, Villanova over Radford, LIU, that's easy. I took Alabama over Virginia. Got a chance to see some of the SEC tournament. The Sexton kid is going to be a pro. Even though Virginia Tech can shoot the three, again, that's a toss-up game with those eight and nines, but I think I like the Sexton kid is a tremendous guard out of Alabama. He's a pro, so I took Alabama to take out, to face off against Villanova. I took West Virginia over Murray State, Wichita State over Marshall. This is my upset special. I took the winner of the St. Bonaventure UCLA game to beat Florida. Was not impressed with Florida this year. I don't think Florida's a very good team. I think he's had better teams at Florida. So I took there are some people that think Florida is underseeded. So, you know, depends on, you know, beauty's an eye to behold it with that. But again, that's my first upset special, the winner of the St. Bonaventure UCLA game over Florida. Texas Tech over Stephen F. Austin, I had that. Arkansas, I like Arkansas over Butler. This is not a vintage Butler team this year. They were, you know, they got into a tournament. They did a good job just to get into a tournament. Purdue, of course, over Cal State Fullerton. Second round, round of 32, I have Villanova over Alabama. Villanova has the guards to deal with Sexton, to deal with him. West Virginia, Wichita State, this will be a very good game, but I have to lean towards West Virginia. I think West Virginia has a chance to make a little run here. Bob Huggins, you know, a ton of coaching experience. And again, this will not be about coaching because Marshall is tremendous at Wichita State. I don't think this is a vintage Wichita State team. They don't defend the way that other Wichita State teams have made long tournament runs have. So I have West Virginia and Wichita State. I have West Virginia over meeting Villanova in the Sweet 16. I will take Texas Tech over either UCLA or St. Bonaventure's. Purdue over Arkansas. I know there are some people that like Arkansas in that game. I don't. I think Purdue is a very good team. They got good big men and they can shoot. They can shoot the lights out. So I have in the elite in my final in the Sweet 16, Villanova, West Virginia, Texas Tech, Purdue, and Texas Tech, Purdue. I'm taking Villanova over West Virginia. Again, I think Villanova's guards can handle West Virginia's guards. I know West Virginia has them, and I think Villanova is tailor-made to deal with West Virginia, who likes to press. They have guards that can break that press. They will get some easy baskets out of that. So I like Villanova to get to the Elite Eight. Texas Tech Purdue should be competitive. Texas Tech will be healthy, but I took Texas Tech. I might have to change that. I'm taking Purdue over Texas Tech. Again, I had Texas Tech, but I'm actually going to change that. I'm going to take Purdue over Texas Tech, and I have Villanova and Purdue. And I have Villanova making it to the Final Four. This is, again, Villanova and what Jay Wright has done is really developed this program into one of the top programs in all of college basketball. He really has done a masterful job. Villanova is a legit top five program in college basketball with Bridges, with their guard play, Brunson and Bridges. They always have tremendous guards. Again, you know how well coached they are. Again, I like what Purdue has. I like how well Purdue has played this year. I like what Purdue can do in terms of shooting the basketball. That never hurts to be able to shoot, especially shooting the three, which is the ultimate equalizer for lack of talent. But I think Villanova will be able to run those big men, and I'd like Villanova to get to the Final Four out of the East bracket. If you are looking for a sleeper out of the East bracket, West Virginia certainly would not. I would not be surprised, shocked, or surprised if West Virginia got to the Final Four out of the East bracket. Villanova clearly to me is the team to beat in that bracket, and that's why I'm picking them. They had the tournament experience, they had the championship pedigree. And then once you win a championship, I know last year, again, last year they lost to a Wisconsin team that you know, we know Wisconsin is a good tournament team, well coached. So I'm not going to beat them up for losing to Wisconsin. So again, I know Villanova has had some struggles in the tournament as a high seed, a 1 or 2 seed. Matter of fact, over the last 6 times they've been either a 1 or 2 seed, only 2016 they've advanced past the second round. I get it. And that one time they did advance past the second round, of course, they won a championship. But I think the program has turned the corner as far as, you know, when you win that first championship, it takes a whole bunch of pressure off you. No longer the best team to never win, or no longer best coach to never win. All that stuff is gone. So I can see Villanova playing free and loose, despite being one of the favorites to win it all. I like Villanova to come out of this bracket and get to the Final Four. Coming up, we'll have the Midwest bracket and much, much more in this edition of the Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this last edition of the Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. Of course, the Field of 68 is set. Field 68 is set. Tournament will begin Tuesday and Wednesday with the play-in games. The first 4 games, which will be on a combination of True TV, TBS as well. What is it? True. Get that right. Yes, True TV on Tuesday, and on Wednesday you'll have it on True TV on both days. So the game with those, True TV will get some shines. This is the only time that anybody cares about True TV is NCAA tournament time. So True TV gets some shine on Tuesday and Wednesday with those playing games. Again, a lot of people not thinking that Syracuse didn't believe that Syracuse deserved a bid. I think they did deserve it. I had no problem with Syracuse in it. I think they're a legit tournament team. So had no problem with Syracuse making the field. They will be amongst the first four, along with Arizona State. There are people who thought that Oklahoma should have been either out of the tournament or at least at worst in the first four. I did not, you know, I wasn't one of those people. So I had no problem with Oklahoma being in the field. And there's no way that Trae Young was going to be kept out of the field. As a matter of fact, Oklahoma, Rhode Island will open the tournament 12:15 on Thursday afternoon at 12:15. So that the tournament will open with Rhode Island and Oklahoma from the Midwest region in Pittsburgh. And that's where we're going to begin. That's where we're going to continue with the brackets. We're going to go to the Midwest, where you have Kansas as the number one seed. Kansas as the number one seed. Duke as a number two. You have a region with Kansas, Duke, Michigan State. Kansas, Duke, and Michigan State. So you have some top heavy teams, some programs that with a lot of pedigree, a lot of history, great coaching, with the likes of Krzyzewski and Izzo and Bill Self. Kansas over Pennsylvania, that was easy. Even though that was easy, Seton Hall, North Carolina State. Now Seton Hall, a lot of people are high on Seton Hall. A lot of people like Seton Hall to possibly upset Kansas if they get past NC State. I'm telling you right now, I watched NC State a lot coming from the ACC. NC State beat Duke and North Carolina, which is not easy. It certainly was not going to be easy this year. NC State has a lot of talent on that team. I like NC State to face Kansas in the second round. Clemson, New Mexico State, I'll take Clemson. Auburn, Charleston, I'll take Auburn. TCU versus the winner of Syracuse, Arizona State. I'm going to take the winner. I'm going to take the winner of Syracuse, Arizona State to beat TCU. So I'm going to take this upset. Either Arizona State or Syracuse will beat TCU in that opening round game. In that opening round game, Michigan State will handle Bucknell, Rhode Island, Oklahoma. I'm taking Oklahoma, and I'm telling you, the reason I'm taking Oklahoma is no pressure. People are going to be telling them, watch out for these teams. And I've seen this before. Watch out for these teams who people knock for getting in a tournament, or people say they're overrated. A lot of times, these teams get a chip on their shoulder, and they have big runs in the NCAA tournament. So Oklahoma's going to be one of these teams. Arizona State, Syracuse could be one of these teams. They're going to be a couple teams that surprise people in these early rounds who were talked about as teams that possibly should not have been in the tournament. I think Oklahoma will get a fresh start, they have plenty of days off to get their stuff together, and they will take out a Rhode Island team that did not end the season well. Duke will handle Iona in the opening round in the first round. So that sets up the round of 32, Kansas, NC State. This will be a very competitive game, and I would not be surprised. I was afraid to pick it, but I would not be surprised if North Carolina State took out Kansas. I don't think that this is a big time Kansas team. I think this Kansas team somewhat has overachieved a bit. I would not be surprised if Kansas lost to NC State, but I'm going to pick Kansas to go to the Sweet 16. Clemson, Auburn. I'm not high on Auburn, especially the way they ended the season. I'm taking Clemson to take out Auburn and to get to and to face Kansas in the Sweet 16. I have Michigan State taking out either Arizona State or Syracuse. That's an easy pick for me, an easy pick to make. Oklahoma Duke, I'll take Duke in that game. I will take Duke in that game. That will set up a tremendous Sweet 16. Kansas, Clemson. I'm taking. I'm so tempted to switch this because I'm not high on Kansas at all. I'm not high on Kansas, but I'm going to take Kansas to get to. I'm going to take Kansas to get to the Final Four, to get to the Elite Eight, to take on Michigan State. To take on Michigan State. So I have. I will have Kansas and Michigan State in the Midwest Regional Final. I like Michigan State. I thought Michigan State was underseeded. Michigan State is a three seed, but Michigan State easily looks the part of a one seed as far as their talent, the coaching. They looked the part of a one seed. Now there are some people that said they could have been a two seed. The reason why they were not a two seed because of the because of their schedule. Not enough. They didn't have a lot of quality wins. These quote unquote quad one wins, where you beat teams who are ranked from 1 to 30, first from the top 30 teams. Those are considered quad one wins. It's a new metric that the committee, came up with this year. So I guess they didn't have a lot of them. The Big Ten was very top heavy, not very good at the bottom. So that was an issue with the committee. That was an issue with the committee, and one of the reasons why Michigan State was not considered to be a two or a one, not a one seed, but even a two seed. So, but I like this Michigan State team. I watched Michigan State manhandle. I watched Michigan State absolutely manhandle North Carolina this year. North Carolina this year early on. Now again, at the PK Classic in Portland. Now again, it's a early, season matchup. No team, not even Virginia, handled North Carolina the way Michigan State did. They have a lot of athleticism. We know how good Miles Bridges is. We know how good of a coach Nick Ward and Jaren Jackson. They have a ton of talent on that Michigan State team. So I like Michigan State to get to the Final Four. to get to the Final Four, coming out of the Midwest region. When we return, we will go east. Excuse me. We will go to the South region where the question can be asked: will anybody be able to deal with the Virginia Cavaliers? We'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. 347-215-6180 is the call number. We are halfway through the brackets. We've already done the Midwest as well as the East region. We now move to the South region, where the Virginia Cavaliers are the prohibited favorites to come out of this region. Virginia, of course, had just a brilliant year, 31-2. You go 20-1 in the ACC, the first team in the history of the conference to win 20 games combined with tournament as well as regular season. They were 17-1 in the regular season. And of course, they capped it off with winning the ACC tournament last night against North Carolina in a game that, listen, I can't, as a North Carolina fan, I can't really knock how North Carolina played. I mean, Virginia is a great defensive team. They force you to play almost perfect basketball as far as just, you have to just, every possession counts against Virginia. Like, you cannot waste any offensive possessions against Virginia because on the other end of the court, you're going to be playing defense for at least 20, minimum 25 to 30. You're going to be playing defense maybe 25 to anywhere from 25 to 30 seconds. So I don't knock North Carolina for not winning that game. North Carolina did have some opportunities late in that game to get it closer, but Virginia clearly is a better team, and Virginia deservingly of the number one overall seed, as they will go in as one of the favorites to win the whole thing. Of course, they will go through UMBC. Creighton, Kansas State. I have Creighton, who upset Villanova earlier this year, getting to face off against Virginia. Kentucky, Davidson, of course, stole a bid with their win in the Atlantic 10. I like Kentucky in that game. Kentucky finally starting to play up to some of their potential that they had. All those, about 10 All-Americans. They finally starting to play up to that potential. They had a great SEC tournament, would have capped it off with a good win against Tennessee. Arizona against Buffalo. Now, again, don't sleep on this game right here. Arizona and Buffalo. Now, I'm picking Arizona to win it, but I'm telling you right now, Buffalo is a very good team. They're very well coached. That team, they won 25 games this year. That team is very, that do not discount Buffalo in that game, in that first round game. I would not be shocked if Buffalo took out Arizona, but Arizona's playing well right now. So I like a dream matchup of Arizona and Kentucky with about 10, you'll have about 12 McDonald's All-Americans on the floor if that matchup is to take place. Miami Loyola against Loyola Chicago. Even though I'm an ACC man, I'm picking, this is my one of my upset specials, picking Loyola Chicago. Tennessee, Wright State. I have Tennessee in that game. Nevada, Texas. I like Nevada over Texas. And of course, Cincinnati to take out Georgia State. So, second round, South bracket, UVA, Creighton. Creighton, UVA will have no problems against Creighton. Kentucky, Arizona. Tough game to pick, but give me the best player on the court, which is DeAndre Ayton, who probably would be the number one pick in the draft. I like Arizona in that game, and like Arizona to take on Virginia in the Sweet 16. Tennessee over Loyola Chicago, and I'll take Cincinnati over Nevada. That leaves in the Sweet 16, UVA Arizona. Again, this will be a very competitive, very tough game that could go either way. UVA has the size that could bother Virginia. That could bother Virginia, but again, I think that in many ways this could be Virginia's year. I think Virginia breaks through and gets to the Elite Eight to face Tennessee. I like Tennessee over Cincinnati. Tennessee is a very good team this year. I saw them against North Carolina earlier this year. Watched them, they play well against a high Kentucky team. They have a lot of talent. They can shoot the ball. well coached, of course, with Bruce Pearl. So I like Tennessee to face off against UVA, and I will take Virginia to get to the Final Four. Tony Bennett getting to the Final Four for the first time in his ninth in his ninth year with Virginia. So I like Virginia to get to the Final Four. If you're looking for a sleeper in this bracket, looking for a sleeper in this bracket, I would say Kentucky. I'm talking about a sleeper to get to the Final Four. I would say Kentucky is a sleeper to get to the Final Four. The thing to remember about Kentucky is how much talent that they have. Okay, they have at least, there are probably at least four to five future pros on this team. Now, the only one that's going to get drafted this year is Knox, the kid Knox. He'll be a lottery pick. But in terms of future draft lottery picks and talent, they have at least four to five future NBA players on this team. I don't know what, like, again, I guess Calipari, I don't know the job that they have been doing, the job that Calipari have been doing this year. I guess he finally got it together late in the season. I know that this Kentucky team is loaded with talent. They're not on the level of past teams that, Anthony Davis, the Karl Anthony Towns, those teams like that. But they are loaded with talent. You started seeing some of that at the end of this season in terms of what they did. And in the SEC, that was a pretty much a balanced SEC. As you saw, the SEC get eight teams in this year, so a balanced conference. And so don't be surprised if Kentucky gets to an Elite Eight. Now, again, I don't think Kentucky would beat Virginia. I don't think Kentucky would beat Virginia, but I could see Kentucky getting to, it could be a sleeper to get to Elite Eight, and possibly an outside chance to get to the Final Four. But that team is loaded with players, with talent. They always are in terms of McDonald's All-Americans and just overall talent. So I like Virginia to get to their to the Final Four. It will be their first Final Four since Ralph Sampson, since going back to the Ralph Sampson days, and their first Elite Eight appearance since 2016, when they lost that game to Syracuse, where they should have went gotten to the Final Four. They had a championship caliber team that year. Still to come, we'll go west to where the defending champs, the defending champ, North Carolina championship, North Carolina Tar Heels will be in. We'll talk about that bracket, Final Four picks, and much, much more in this latest edition of Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. 42 minutes after the 10 o'clock hour in this latest edition of the Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast, this NCAA tournament edition, 86-77 or 88-77, Lakers over Cleveland. Nobody is playing defense right now for either one of these teams, especially Cleveland, as LeBron James concludes his LA trip. Of course, Cleveland lost to the Clippers on Friday. They conclude this LA trip, this West Coast. I think they conclude this West Coast trip as well. I'm guessing probably will be their last West Coast trip of the season, considering how late it is in the season. So 88-77, Lakers have an 11-point lead over the Cleveland Cavaliers. So far, in terms of the picks, I have, in terms of the Final Four picks, we've three-fourths of the way. I have Villanova against Michigan State, and I have Virginia. So those are three of my Final Four picks. We will go now to the West bracket, where the Xavier Musketeers are the number one seed, If you're looking for a sleeper in this bracket, don't look no further than the Houston Cougars. We're at a number six seed. A lot of people think Houston got underseeded here with how they finished the season. They're a number six seed. The team to beat in this bracket to me is either North Carolina or Michigan. It is evident that the North Carolina, had they beaten Virginia, would have been the fourth number one seed, or the last number one seed over Xavier, had they beaten Virginia. But that was not the case. Virginia ends up, Xavier, North Carolina loses to Virginia, and Xavier gets that number one seed. And I have Xavier again over the play-in winner, so Texas Southern, whoever they're playing with, North Carolina Central or either that game with North Carolina Central. Yes, Texas Southern, North Carolina Central. I have Virginia over, excuse me, Xavier taking out that the winner of that game. Missouri, Florida State. This is a very, of course, this is a very easy game for me to pick, despite the fact that Florida State, of course, we know has a talent and a lot of athleticism. I'm telling you right now, watch out for Missouri in this tournament. When you get the player of, when you get a guy on your team to join your team the last week or so, who was considered to be a legit top five draft pick in Michael Porter Jr. I know he had a bad game in the SEC tournament. Throw that game out. He's gonna get at least three or four practices in. I think he's gonna have a big tournament. I'm telling you right now, Missouri is gonna be dangerous in this tournament. I like Missouri over Florida State as an eighth seed. Ohio State will take out South Dakota State. I have, of course, Gonzaga over UNC Greensboro, Houston over San Diego State, and Michigan over Montana. Go to the bottom half. I like Providence over Texas A&M. Providence has some good guards. They always have good guards under Cooley. And of course, North Carolina over Lipscomb to set up a matchup against Providence in the second round. Round of 32, I like Missouri over Xavier. Xavier's going to be the number one seed that does not get a lot of respect. A lot of people are not high on Xavier, even though, keep this in mind about Xavier, they have had a tremendous pedigree in terms of the NCAA tournament. Xavier's a team that has done some good things in the tournament, getting to the Elite Eight, getting to the Sweet 16. So it's not like, this will be their first number one. This will be the first time they have a target on their back in terms of getting a number one seed. But Xavier does have a quality pedigree in terms of being an NCAA tournament team. So don't forget about that. Don't forget about that when it comes to the Musketeers. But I have Missouri overtaking them out in the round of 32 as my first number one seed to go out. I have Ohio State over Gonzaga. I know a lot of people are high on Gonzaga. I liked Ohio State this year. I watched Ohio State a lot this year. I don't think Gonzaga is as good as they were last year. I don't think the conference was that good. So I will take Ohio State over Gonzaga. Houston, Michigan. This will be a very dangerous game for Michigan because I think Houston's a good basketball team. A lot of people, including myself, believe that they were underseeded, that he easily could have been a five or a five seed or maybe even a four seed. So don't discount the Houston Cougars by any stretch of the imagination. But I do like the Michigan Wolverines. The Michigan Wolverines were one of the teams that I thought coming into this tournament that could get to the Final Four at the end of the season playing great basketball. And they've had a ton. They're going to have almost 2 weeks off. 2 weeks off. So they're going to be fresh. Coming into this tournament, North Carolina will take out Providence to set up a classic matchup in the Sweet 16 with Michigan. But we'll go back to the top half: Missouri, Ohio State. I will take Missouri if I'm going to take a pick them to beat number one seed. I might as well pick them to beat Ohio State. They are my sleeper and my Cinderella to get to the Elite Eight this year. And I'm going to take North Carolina over Michigan. And trust me, this was a tough pick. Even though I'm a North Carolina fan, I have a tremendous amount of respect for Michigan, for what Michigan can do. Michigan is a well-coached team. John Boeheim is a great tournament coach. Coach, he always, especially those quick turnaround games, whether it's Thursday to Saturday, Friday to Sunday, he does a tremendous job with that. He's a tremendous coach. That program, that team, Michigan's always plays well in the tournament under Beilein. So I would not be surprised if they took out North Carolina, not in the least bit. But to me, this is what North Carolina has been waiting for, the NCAA tournament. North Carolina, over the last 12 games, played well. They had three losses again, losing to Virginia, Duke, and who else did they lose? Who did they lose to? Miami on that buzzer beater. So they have some tough losses down the stretch, but for the most part, I think North Carolina is playing is where they need to be coming into this tournament. I also think that the extra day off will help North Carolina playing 4 games in 4 nights. They won't have to play on Friday, so they'll have, a full five, basically 4 or 5 days off, I'm sure. And again, they get to travel. They'll have a full 5 days off going into the tournament. they'll probably, you know, those regional games will probably, I'm guessing, I'm going to look at the schedule, the regional games probably will be the East region. Oh, so the East region will play on Friday, Sunday, and okay, so I was wrong about that. So the West region will play. Well, it won't matter. North Carolina will be well rested going into this tournament. As I try to look at the schedule here, in terms of, yes, so the West will play Thursday. Will play Thursday, Saturday. Okay, I mean it won't make it at Staples Center. So now the West will be at Staples Center. Well, anyway, North Carolina will be well rested. Again, that game against Michigan. I think that could be the game of the tournament. North Carolina and Michigan, two heavyweight programs. They played some classic tournament games. The Glenn Rice game in 89, 92, 87, that wild game, which was just like a track meet. The course, 1993, Chris Webber timeout. That, you know, Dean Smith's last championship, 1993. So these two teams, I hope that this matchup comes about. I like North Carolina to get to the Elite Eight, face off against Missouri. And I like Missouri's Cinderella run will end at Staples Center in Los Angeles, where North Carolina will advance. I feel like we'll advance to the Final Four. So I have my Final Four picks are UVA against North Carolina, a 1 and a 2. Villanova, Michigan State, a 1 and a 3. So I have two number ones, one number two, and a number three seed in the Final Four. When we return, I will have my Final Four and National Championship picks. That's coming up on this latest edition of the Cyril Joel Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. 51 minutes after the 10 o'clock hour in this latest edition of the Cyril Joel Quinn Sports Podcast. Right now, Lakers, Cleveland. Lakers up 13, 98-85 early in the fourth quarter. Lonzo Ball just missed a dunk where he should. That's just a young player just trying to show out. You have to convert that. They come back Cleveland comes back on the other end and knocks down a 3-point shot. So a 5-point turnaround from that standpoint. 98-85 Lakers over Cleveland. 99-85 Lakers over Cleveland. Early on in the fourth quarter, I believe LeBron's on the bench right now. He should probably get a short rest before he heads back into the game. NCAA, so we're down to the Final Four. I have North Carolina facing off against UVA in the first regional final, and then the second regional final, Villanova, Michigan State. Now, if this Final Four does commence, there's no question to me that Virginia and North Carolina will be the second game. So if this Final Four does, Virginia and North Carolina, without question, will be the second game. Villanova, Michigan State. I will take Michigan State over Villanova. I've been high on Michigan State all year long. I haven't seen anything that would change my mind about how good of a team Michigan State is. They have quality big men. They have guards that can shoot it. We know what Tom Izzo is as a coach and how great a coach he is. I think Michigan State is being undervalued in this tournament as being one of the teams that could win it all. You're going to hear a lot about Virginia. You're going to hear a lot about Villanova. You're going to hear a lot about Duke, Kansas. Nobody seems to be talking about Michigan State for whatever reason. People are talking more about Michigan than they are Michigan State. So I like Michigan State a lot. And I think they're going to have a big tournament, get to the national championship game where they will face the Virginia Cavaliers. Yes, I am picking Virginia to beat my Tar Heels. Any other team, I probably would take North Carolina. Probably would have took North Carolina outside of Michigan State, but I think Virginia. I think this is Virginia's year to make a big run in this tournament. I've seen them twice against North Carolina. North Carolina it's just a bad matchup for North Carolina. It really is. Their physicality, they're physical with North Carolina. They know how to guard North Carolina. North Carolina's advantage in terms of the boards. Virginia does a good job of getting back on defense against North Carolina. So I think it will be a competitive game, but I like Virginia to get to a national championship to face off against Michigan State. And in that game, I'm going to take the Virginia Cavaliers. Normally, the Virginia Cavaliers to finally break through and win a championship. Every so often, you see a program, whether it's Maryland with Gary Williams, a few, back in 2002, whether it's Syracuse with Boeheim, whether it's Villanova a couple of years ago, you see a program that's been knocking on the door to win a championship. And I think that program this year, I think that this year Virginia is that program. Again, they are coached brilliantly by Tony Bennett. They have the players that can shoot the three. They make you play their style. Now, again, I have not. I it took a. I've done a. I'm doing. I'm gonna do a complete 180 on Virginia because I've all season long. I've told you I'm not high on Virginia. I don't think they can. I don't think that, you know, them that style of play of trying to hold each team under 50 points and 60 points works in the NCAA tournament. But I'm telling you right now, they're better offensively than they have been in the past, and I think this is a year with no dominant team, and there is no dominant team. This is a year that Virginia could and should break through to win a championship. Now, again, Michigan State is a tremendous team. That will be a great matchup. And to be honest with you, in the past, you know, 4 or 5 years, Michigan State has had Virginia's number in the NCAA tournament. They've beaten Virginia twice in the last 5 years in the NCAA tournament. So they know how to play against Virginia, but I think this is Virginia's year, and I like Virginia in that game 65 to 60, which should be a brilliant, well-coached, tremendous finale to a wild, crazy college basketball season. I'm looking at this tournament right now. I don't see a double-digit seed that can get to a Final Four, let alone get to even an Elite Eight. I'm looking at my Elite Eight, the lowest seed I have in the Elite Eight, and I can end up being dead wrong, but the lowest seed I have in the Elite Eight is Missouri as a number eight. So my Elite Eight, I have Villanova, Purdue, Virginia, Tennessee, Missouri, North Carolina, Kansas, Michigan State. My lowest seed, the lowest seed I have getting to the Elite Eight is Missouri. Again, I really like this Missouri team a lot, considering you add a player like Michael Porter Jr., who is going to be a top five lottery pick, who is a guy who would have been amongst the best freshman amongst the best freshmen in the country this year, who was rated the number was came into the season rated the number one freshman in the country this year. Got hurt early. Came back, was rusty in the SEC tournament, but I think he's going to have a big NCAA tournament, and I like Missouri to get to the Elite Eight. But overall, I think this is the year of the yacht of the Wahoos. Virginia will take home their very first national championship under Tony Bennett, and again, completed a dream season, going 20-1 in the ACC. And what would they be? It would be 37-2 if they were winning it all. So those are my picks for the NCAA tournament. I'm looking forward to it. Beginning Tuesday with the play-in games, Tuesday and Wednesday with the four play-in games, and of course the official start to me, the real start is, of course, will be Thursday afternoon, Oklahoma, Rhode Island, Trae Young kicking it off. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Sir Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. I will see you next time. Enjoy the tournament. So long.